Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Well, loving two women is like a ball and chain. Such was the title of a country song back in the day when I was working a high school job, and during the summer I worked at a carpet warehouse, and the guy with whom I was working with, he was a country fan, and so he had the country radio station on all the time. And that summer, that song was on, it seemed like, you know, once an hour. It was ridiculous. I got sick and tired of hearing that thing. But, you know, that country crooner's talking about that. You know, loving two women is like a ball and chain, but being married to two women at the same time, well, that's worse. All right? God had a plan, and if you depart from God's plan, well, you run into trouble. It started off with Adam and Eve. It wasn't Adam and Eve and Rose and Sarah and Debbie. Well, you know, you get the point. It wasn't like that. But such was the case here. Again, you depart from God's plan, you run into trouble. And so here we have Samuel's mom. She's one of two wives. Elkanah, that's his name. That's his dad, Samuel's dad. And so here she is, Hannah, is having problems. And the problem is that, well, Elkanah favors her over his other wife. Trouble is that Hannah doesn't have any kids. She's barren. And his other wife is having children. And so she's rubbing that in Hannah's face all the time. And so Hannah then prays to the Lord. It's like, hey, please give me a son. So she prays. God answers her prayer. She had made this promise to the Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you to serve you all his days. And so she received that son, called him Samuel. And his name sounds like, in Hebrew, heard by God. So then at the age of 3, well, she brought him to Eli to have him serve the Lord. Now Eli, he was the high priest. He was the judge. He was judge of all Israel. And he had some sons. And they were bad boys. Very bad. In fact, they cheated the people out of their offerings. They slept with the women who were serving the Lord there, serving around the Ark of the Covenant. And the worst part was, is their dad Eli, he knew about it. Told them to stop, but they kept on doing it, and he didn't do anything else. Now, here it is. He's got the authority. He's the high priest. He's judge. Didn't do anything about it. And because he didn't do anything about it, God's starting to get a little upset over this issue. It's kind of like nowadays here. Think of the Lord as a football team owner. They're losing. What does he do? He fires the coach, right? So, guess what's about to happen here with Eli? Now, that's some of the background here about leading up to our scripture readings here for today. Now, by this time here in our scripture reading, Samuel's about 12 years old. Now Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Well, there was no frequent vision. That shouldn't be any stunning reality here. I mean, if Eli's behaving that way, his sons are even worse and he's not doing anything about it, well, the Lord's not going to talk to him. So it sets up the next few verses here. So at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So Samuel's job was not just taking care of Eli and doing his bidding there, but it was also to making sure that he kept an eye on the ark of the covenant. So he's in there sleeping in that area where the ark is. And so now, the Lord makes his presence known. The Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. Think about that. How cool would that be? God calling out your name. So what was happening here? God was calling out Samuel's name. Called him by name. Samuel didn't get it, though. Went and ran in there to Eli and was like, "Hey, here I am." And he is like, "I didn't call you. You know, you must have been dreaming. You know, go back to sleep." And so Samuel's probably thinking, well, he's the one who's talking in his sleep, but all right, I'll go back and lay down. And so they're wondering, each of them probably wondering, what's going on here? What's going on with the boy? But yet, if you think about it, though, again, the reason was this, why Samuel didn't get it. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now God had spoken before to people. Think about Moses. He spoke face to face with Moses. That was 400 years earlier. But also God then speaks to people through dreams. You can think of Joseph. Here it happens. But yet, it hadn't happened to Samuel yet, so he didn't know. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Now wouldn't it be great if God called you by name? Then you would know for sure that God's speaking to you. And the only thing that could be even better than that would be if Jesus was standing right there, just like he came up to Nathaniel there and Philip and said, "Follow me." So how do you know if the Lord is calling you or not? It's a good question, really. But have you ever thought about it? God has already called you. You were called in your baptism. Think about it this way. The pastor there marked you with the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. He called out your name when you were baptized, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In that baptism, in your baptism, God set you aside to be his own. God called you by name. You are his. You have forgiveness of sins and the hope of everlasting life. That is you. But God also calls you through his word. How many times has it taken you to answer his call? And the Lord came and stood calling at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Four times for Samuel. And the Lord was standing right there when he said it that fourth time. You're probably thinking, "Well, you know, if the Lord was standing here and called out my name, I think I'd get it too." But have you ever thought that's what happens here? Every time we do the invocation, we're inviting God to make his presence to be here with us. And what did Jesus say? "Wherever two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst of them." So when we call out in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when we do the invocation, we're inviting God, and his presence is here right now. Jesus is here with us right now. And what is he saying to you? What is he calling you to do? Could it be turn from a sin? Maybe there's something in your life that you need to do away with. Maybe you're breaking one of those commandments. And perhaps you're resisting him, not wanting to change. You know, he'll speak to you again and again about that. You'll either hear it in a message like a sermon. Maybe you're hearing it in a devotion. Maybe you're reading a devotion or you hear one on the radio. Maybe you overhear somebody else's conversation where they're talking about the same sin you're doing and how those people there, they're talking about how it's ruined their child's lives, their parents' lives, or whatever. God's working on your heart trying to get your attention. Perhaps it's something else. Perhaps you hear the word and you start thinking about, well, maybe I ought to be serving the Lord in some kind of capacity. Maybe it's just giving somebody a phone call. "Hey, I hadn't seen you in a while. How's it going?" Perhaps it's to serve here at church. Perhaps it's to go and serve the Lord in some other kind of capacity. And all the while, you're just not sure. Is he really asking me to do that? Or am I just thinking that? What's going on? Or perhaps it's something else. Maybe you're thinking, it's like, you know, if I were only younger, then it'd be so much easier for me to do that. I wouldn't have all the responsibilities that I've got now and those kinds of things. But have you ever considered how old some of the people were in the Bible before they started serving the Lord? Abraham. He was 75 when God told him, "Hey, I want you to go move over here." He was 99 when he was told he was going to have a kid. Going to be the father of many nations. Think about Moses. He was 80. He was still a fugitive murderer for 40 years. There, remember, he was in Egypt there. He killed somebody, and then he fled 40 years later. God called him. Think about it. Samuel. He was 12. Peter was married. Some of the other disciples there, well, they were fishermen. So they had to change jobs. But the majority of the time, you don't need to change your career. Truth of the matter is that God calls you right where you are. Here's an example. A friend of mine said his mother-in-law started a prayer group for people in their congregation, for people who were over the age of 80. You could not get into this prayer group until you hit that milestone of 80 years old. And your people are always asking me, it's like, you know, here I am, I'm still around here on this earth, you know, what am I supposed to do? What does God want me to do? I tell you what, prayer is an amazing thing. It's a huge thing. In fact, I know of a couple women who are well over the age of 80, who pray regularly, whose prayers are answered all the time. One time, son-in-law of one of these ladies, he's like, he had a chauffeur business, all right? He owned a couple limos. His business was hurting. And so finally he broke down. It's like he asked his mother-in-law, hey, can you start praying for me? So she did. Within a month, he had to tell her to stop praying because he had too much business. And his business continued on ever since, just like that. It's an amazing thing what can happen. Like I said, God calls you right where you are. You see, Jesus came to this earth. He called his disciples. Jesus came here and carried that message, the message of God's love, with him to the cross. There he died and earned forgiveness of all of our sins, rose from the grave alive, giving us that promise of everlasting life. That's the message that needs to go out. That's the message that needs to be shared. See, Jesus came to take that plug out of our ears, the plugs in there that have been resisting God's word all along, resisting that call, resisting that urge there that, you know, he wants us to serve in all kinds of different ways, with all the different gifts and abilities that he's given each and every one of us. He came that we might respond to the love that God showed us first. A love that accepts, a love that forgives, a love that calls us to serve him. So if you think about it, we really don't have an excuse. We've been bought and purchased with Christ's blood. We've been called in our baptism. So no matter what our history is, no matter what our past is, that's forgiven. He's made it personal with you. He did that in your baptism. You see, he's calling you by name. And so that means that we are his and we can serve him. Are you going to listen to his call? I pray that you do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise as we